Welcome to the Perfect Life Awakening Show, hosted by Royce Morales. Royce has been a transformational facilitator, teaching groundbreaking, spiritually-based courses for more than four decades. She is the author of three books about her teachings. Join Royce as she takes you on a journey into how to live your best life and find your true purpose through discovering the origins of subconscious, disempowering notions, and releasing them. She talks with experts and inspiring people just like you who learned to trust their intuitive inner wisdom, which led to life-changing shifts. Today, her guests live an empowered existence and are helping change the world to a higher consciousness place based on truth and love. You deserve to awaken to, align with, and embody your true self and live a life filled with love. Transform yourself from triggered to empowered and create your perfect life. Here is your host, Royce Morales.
Hello, welcome to my show. I'm so glad you're here. You know, I have been thinking probably for years, maybe my whole life, that this world would be a better place if we all really believed that age is just a number. I think that everything would certainly shift if we were just able to shift our notions about age, which is what my guest did today. I'm so excited to be speaking with Kathy today, and I'll introduce her in a few minutes, but you know I like to go on my little rant before I let my guest start talking. So just I think about the amount of ageism that goes on in Western society. It just permeates everything. It's one of the few remaining topics that is still acceptable to make jokes about. How many times is President Biden's age mentioned or his so-called senior moments laughed at? It's like just a perfect example of our fear about becoming what we're making fun of. That's my attitude about it. I think it's interesting that age is the very first thing that's mentioned when someone dies. It's like, oh, they lived to be 89. Oh, you know, they were 100. So all that stuff. And I think about Betty White. I know she left this planet a couple of years ago now, but she never let preconceived notions about age influence her. She just broke through that ageist glass ceiling of Hollywood and did so without making a fuss or having a million facelifts or whatever. She just wore her age proudly and with dignity. Now, Kathy is going to be talking about a little different aspect about aging. And I say aging in quotes, but she's going to talk about being a late bloomer and what that really means and what that's about, because I don't think there is such a thing as a late bloomer. And again, what if we shifted into a spiritually based notion that everyone is on what I refer to as a divine timetable? It's like, this is what's supposed to happen at this time of your life, and this is what you're supposed to do when you turn 40, and this is what, you know, that sort of thing. That spiritually, we know why we're here on some level, and we're doing what we're supposed to be doing on some level, and the timing is perfect. I have one of my students who just hates that whole concept. Every time I talk about divine timing, she goes, ah, she just goes crazy. But I think that all of us have our own divine timetable. Maybe we don't discover our purpose until we're in our 60s. Maybe we don't start something until we're 90, you know? So I just think that this whole idea of late bloomership, I just made that up, is a ridiculous notion. So I want to introduce Kathy, and I want to tell you just a little bit about Kathy Bressler. She's one of those people who tried her darndest to be normal, and normal is in quotes too, whatever that means. And she was living a very cerebral life. She had a nice normal job, a corporate job that she tolerated. And part of her knew from birth that this was not what she was supposed to be doing. And then, lo and behold, she was diagnosed with breast cancer, which for those of you that are involved in understanding how the body sometimes gives us our most important messages, We manifest things to wake us up. This certainly did wake her up. She became very introspective, and she figured out pretty quickly that this, she could now live her authentic life. Not only now could she, but she needed to live her authentic life. She delved into all kinds of spiritual work, started listening to the messages of her soul, her intuition, and it was a long and winding path that led her back to remembering that she was born a mystic, as she says. She also knew she needed to do what she was destined to do. She always dreamt about opening a spiritual center, and she kept envisioning it, but couldn't quite imagine how that could possibly happen. She co-founded a circle of women called LIFT, Living in Flow Together. I love that. She's always coming up with these great acronyms. It's just great. They met in her living room for a while, and then she took it out of her living room and found her own space. And she's in Chicago, but I'm sure that she's doing enough remote things now that people can participate, even if you don't live in Chicago. She called this spiritually based center Altar, which I just love. Such a great play on words, altar and altar, E-R or A-R, it's the same thing. And it took a while to actually come together because, talk about timing, that's when the pandemic was going on. So that was a challenging timeline for her. But, you know, the expression all in due time, I think that's something we all need to live from because everything does happen when it's the right time. She, as far as I'm concerned, is an amazing visionary leader dedicated to empowering women to embrace their true selves unapologetically. I think that's a great word too. Uplifting each other, embracing their boundless potential, reimagining a world that needs, I'm reading this and I need to turn to the next page, a world that honors their unique contributions more than ever. And she gave herself the most wonderful title. She calls herself a consciousness concierge. I just love that. And she helps curate valuable resources and gives gentle guidance and support for the community of women at Altar. And she really wants to leave an indelible mark on the lives of women, giving them a space where they rise together and create a more just and loving world that we all deserve. So she's going to talk again today about women's value throughout their lives and give some examples of women doing incredible, inspiring things with unexpected timing. We don't want to call it, you know, late blooming anymore. And she just, I've read about, and I haven't been to Altar yet, but I someday, if I'm ever in Chicago, I definitely want to make that part of my journey because I would love to see it in person. It's so inspiring to see the pictures and all the stuff that you're doing. Every time I get an email from you, I'm just like, wow, that's so awesome. So Kathy, tell us a little bit more about how this whole thing started and what it's all about and the titles that you come up with and the whole notion of late blooming. I'm just going to
put it all out
there. Go for it.
Well, I'm so excited to be here and to be in this conversation because I think that's what it is changing the narrative, like you said, for ourselves about aging, about what's possible, about trusting our own timing and being, I don't know, I guess I want to say like brave or sort of steadfast in the face of all the messages that we get about what should be happening when. I put late bloomer out there in a way, facetiously, right? Just so that we can kind of tear it down. I don't really think it's true. But at the same time, I feel like there are so many women, you and me and lots of us, in whatever we're going to call it, the third quarter of life, that are doing all kinds of things that I know I could never have done, you know, earlier. I might have been dreaming of creating Altar and some sort of a center in my 30s and 40s, but I'm 58. Like I wasn't like ready to bloom. It wasn't ready to bloom. And you know, I love this definition. And when I was, as you said, my sort of nickname, my title is Consciousness Concierge, which I didn't make up. A friend gave it to me because one of the things that I do is sort of curate all these resources. I'm always reading poems and books and listening to podcasts, and I'm sort of like doling them out to the people in my life based on, you know, conversations we've had or what I know is going on with them. And I stumbled across a woman named Deborah Eve, who has a website called Later Bloomer, where she has cataloged just an incredible resource of people. I don't think it's not all women, but it's people who have, who are, you know, late bloomers. And I want to share her definition of it because I love it. And I feel like it just like explodes all the, the ways we're taught to think about it. But she says, late bloomer, noun, an adult whose talent or genius in a particular field only appears later in life than is normal. In some cases, only in old age. That's from Wikipedia.
Normal,
right? So that's Wikipedia. That's like our standard definition. And then she says, two, a person who doesn't give a pomegranate about what's normal and blooms in their old, in their own time. See laterbloomer.com.
That's great.
Right? Like, you know, so on some level, I feel like you said, you know, I've had this pull to create a physical gathering space in Chicago. I mean, for a very long time, maybe it started for real in 2005, where I had just finished with cancer treatment and I was just turning 40, and a friend and a coach had me do this exercise because I had no idea what I wanted to do next. And she said, imagine yourself 10 years in the future. What, you wake up, where are you? What are you doing? Who are you with? You know, it was this whole like envisioning thing. And I just wrote it all down. And I was in a, surprising to myself, I was in like a women's center with women of all ages. And I wrote that like, we're doing sort of alternative healing, but we're not quacks. You know, I'm sort of like see myself as this very grounded person, but also totally interested in all things metaphysical and spiritual. So anyway, I finished that exercise and I thought, well, I'm gonna have to move to California because those people are not in Chicago. And I put it in a drawer, honestly, and just like went back to being a mother of young kids and or joined the board of the school, you know, did all the normal things. And then in 2012, it kind of like resurfaced and I met a bunch of women who were talking about creating a center. And I was like, oh, I've been wanting to create a center. And it took 10 years of, you know, I think trying to force the bloom in some sense, right? You know, there's all those metaphors about how you can't make a flower. You'll just tear it. You'll just.
Just thinking that. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think about how much energy I spent in those years, how much urgency I felt, how much I felt like I was late or I had to get it done, and how much suffering there is associated with trying to be on a timeline other than the one you're actually on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's been a journey, but here we are.
Yeah. As you're talking, I'm remembering an interesting thing that happened to me. I've been teaching spirituality and transformational growth for over four decades. And I decided, well, it's kind of a long story, but I decided to open a store. Mm-hmm. And the store was spiritually based and it had everything earth friendly and handcrafted and whatever. And I opened this amazing store in Redondo Beach and a reporter found out about it. And they came and interviewed me. And one of the first things he asked was, how old are you? And I was like, what difference does that make? And I told him it was the lead-in to the article that he wrote, middle-aged, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh God. I mean, I had never even considered age as a factor to what I was doing. And I was in my mid-40s, I think, when I opened the store. But it was like, it just struck me as so odd and so just odd, I guess, is the word, because like I said, I never considered my age. I didn't consider myself middle-aged. You know, what does that mean? So yeah, it's just, it's everywhere. It really is. Yeah.
It is everywhere. But then, you know, it's funny. I take heart in the sense, or inspiration. I remember, I think we've talked about, like, I teach and practice something called Soul Collage, mm-hmm. which was created by an amazing woman named Sina Frost, who, you know, took her passions. She was a Jungian marriage and family therapist, a poet, a fine artist, a graduate of Yale Divinity School. And she married them all up into this process called Soul Collage, which has now gone worldwide. There's over 5,000 practitioners. She didn't even start it, I think, till she was 62, you know, like, and it's just this massive life's work and impact. And I love hearing those stories that, you know, particularly when we can start to feel late or behind, or like, you know, it's not, our timing isn't right, whatever that means. I don't know. There's like amazing things happening at every age. And I totally agree with you. Age has absolutely nothing to do with it. Like, yeah, you're cooked and ready when you are to do the thing.
Yeah. I look back on some of the things that I used to teach and I think, wow, that was because I was, you know, 30 when I was teaching it. And now that I'm way beyond that number, it has a whole different feel, a whole different substance, a whole different level of depth, that I just wasn't in touch with. And, you know, I'm thinking also about what they say about teenagers, that teenagers think they know everything, you right. know, yeah, whatever that expression is. But yeah, I certainly thought I knew everything when I was teaching when I was 30. And I remember having some quote older women take my classes, and they were probably in their 40s, right. and they would talk about their relationship, the relationships that they were in and whatever. And I would sit there and I'd just be blown away. It's like, you're 40 and you're talking about sex. How weird is that? You know, it just, I look back on those things and it just right. cracks me up. So, yeah.
Right. Well, you know, that's one of the reasons, one of my intentions for creating Altar, and as it grows, is to foster this intergenerational community and exchange across, you know, what I think are like the four generations right now. And because for that very reason, I my experience as a younger woman was very siloed. You know, everybody I knew was sort of in my life stage, doing the same things, having the same fears, having the same conclusions, and thinking we knew, you know. And then when I was 42, I, like by happenstance, joined a group with my husband's grandmother, who I was very close with after she lost her husband. And it was a Torah study group with women who were like 65 to almost 100. And I spent every Wednesday morning with them. And it was my first like real intergenerational experience of, you know, questioning my conclusions, hearing their perspective, like you're saying, like getting to know actual women in their 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s who were vital and engaged and doing all the things. So I feel like part of what I'm trying to create right now is a space where that kind of exchange happens, because it helps us all. Yeah. But also, like, young people think they know all the things, and older women know so many things and know they don't often have outlets to share. So yeah, it's a bit of a mission for me.
I was talking with someone yesterday, and actually she's a physical therapist, and she was telling me that she finds that most of the demographics that come to her are in the 60s and 70s and 80s, and how they all kind of want to have an older physical therapist who also works in the same place that she works in. She said, because, you know, they can relate better. And I looked at her, and she's probably maybe 28, I don't know. And I looked at her and I said, wow, that's really odd. I mean, I just feel like I can relate to any age. You know, I think a lot of people have that thing that goes on, that barrier that goes on when you look at someone, you think, oh, they wouldn't understand because they're 20, or they wouldn't understand because they're 80. And that's just so sad to me because people are human. The only thing I don't understand is some of the music that they like.
Right. That I don't know the technology, but.
Yeah. It's like, yes. Put on some Beatles, okay?
No, I think that's really true. I think it's, you know, we because of these, I don't know, you know, like external or societal or cultural, I don't know what to call them, kind of ideas about where you're supposed to be at when, and certainly ideas about aging. And we've absorbed them. We've imbibed them in a way that we don't even know, I think, that making that request, which, you know, everybody can do what they want, but I really think this opening ourselves up and just beholding who's the person in front of us, like in beyond some just how they look, or I don't know. I just, it seems so simple and like natural, but it's not, we have to practice doing it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I was just, all these things are coming to mind as you're talking. I was meditating on Saturday with one of my students, and we do what I refer to as an open meditation, meaning that whatever comes to us, we state it out loud and it kind of feeds off of each other. And sometimes we get in touch with past lives that we shared, or it's really unique. It's very wonderful and transformational. And so we were doing this meditation together, and for some reason we started focusing on what's going on in the world, and she would get various little bits of information and I would get various bits of information. And one of the little nuggets that we both received is the importance of the upcoming generation, these 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 year old kids that are truly going to change the world. And we kind of saw this little timeline of, you know, each generation, what they brought to this world, and, you know, the generation X and Z and millenniums and all that stuff. And it's like, these are the ones that are going to take all of that and transform the world. And it was like, oh, I'm getting chills as I'm saying it, because it just feels so true. And she has a 6-year-old, and this 6-year-old is such a spitfire. And, you know, she is so determined and so stubborn and so opinionated. And she just arrived here like that, you know, and it's like, oh, yeah. And don't try to change that in her, because that's what that's the gift that she's bringing to this world. You know, yes. Yeah, yes. It just seems like, the generational stuff, if there's anything about age, there is something in terms of energetically, you know, certain generations are here to do certain things. So you know, maybe our generation is here to encourage and remind that generation. It's like, come on, we couldn't do it, but you can.
Well, right. Like I think even the notion, you know, someone in my world who I will not name said something lately, like about how, well, we just need the old people to like get out of the way, you know, like the old meaning sort of, I think, conservative or like closed-minded or whatever it was. It was sort of like, we just need to, and I think that's also a very, there's some stereotype, right, about how just make way for the young people. But I think, I mean, I understand that. And I feel like moving to this way in which we value all the stages of development as equally contributing to the mix and to the wisdom and to the value of being here together on this journey of being, you know, a human in creating a world. I don't know. I hope that those of us who are even thinking and talking about it can sort of model and encourage a different way of holding all of it.
Definitely. Well, we need to take a little bit of a break here. And just to remind everybody, I'm talking to Kathy Bressler, the founder of Alter in Chicago. And I would love to get into a couple of things. I know that you have some stories to share about certain women that didn't buy into this, you know, late blooming thing. And I also want to talk about some of the maybe societal or universal beliefs that we have about aging and certain being certain ages and what you're supposed to be doing. So we'll be right back. And thank you again for joining us today.
OM Times TV. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust, spheric approach. OM Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, OM Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an OM Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on OM Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive OM Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. OM Times. Open yourself to the possibilities. Transform your life from triggered to empowered with the Perfect Life Awakening program. Royce Morales' extraordinary, enlightening, spiritually based teachings that get to the core of subconscious underlying motivations driving your life. With more than four decades as a transformational facilitator and author, Royce Morales offers ways to awaken your deserving, authentic existence, free from paralyzing issues, repetitive patterns, and programmed fears, while simultaneously awakening your spiritually aware, higher consciousness, purposeful self. Perfect Life Awakening offers remote group classes and one-on-one sessions to explore even deeper levels. Check out Royce Morales' books, Want, True Love, Past Lives, and Other Complications, Know, A Spiritual Wake-Up Call, and Back, Rebirth After Stroke. Learn more about Perfect Life Awakening and Royce Morales. Visit RoyceMorales.com.
There are 16 million children struggling with hunger in America. That's one in five daughters, sons, neighbors, and classmates who don't know where their next meal is coming from. Yet billions of pounds of good food go to waste every year. It's time we do something about it. Feeding America is a nationwide network of food banks that helps provide meals to millions of kids and families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to help them feed even more. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
Welcome back. I am talking with Kathy Bressler, the founder and amazing visionary in Chicago, that we're talking about late blooming and what a strange, bizarre notion that is. But it permeates us. It really does. I was just thinking about that during the break, that, you know, it really is the first thing that we see or want to know about a human being is how old are they? And what do you mean you're doing that in your 80? You know, it cracks me up. It's like, I'm noticing that more in my own life because I go to the market and I'm trying to reach for something and some person walks over and says, let me get that for you. I'm like, why would you do that? You know, it just happens all the time. It's strange. So Kathy, tell us a little bit more about some of the people that you've either read about or heard about or know personally that started something. I really want to eliminate that word late because that implies that something is early and something is late. So let's come up with a different word for that. You've got your word hat on, but let's think of a different word. But tell us about some people that were so-called late bloomers that you know about.
Well, you know, I mentioned Sina Frost. There's another woman named Lydia Rule, who, I don't know if you're following Alter, when we first launched, we launched with a whole like 41 of these 4-foot by 6-foot banners depicting divine feminine images from around the world. that they were part of her, like she made 300 of them. And Lydia traveled all around the world, going to these sacred sites and then painting these images, creating these flags. And she, again, like didn't even start that till she was in her 60s, you know? And I am inspired by this notion that it's sort of never too late, right? There's one piece of that. So that like when we're on, when we're kind of a slave to the traditional timeline, whatever that is, you know, we maybe stop ourselves from doing that. I was listening to the you know, your the description of the program and talking about limiting beliefs and how really that's what stops us from, you know, these ideas of what's possible at any age. But certainly, you know, I think speaking about like new words and new ways to think about it, I have a friend who's in this space as well, and she talks about bonus life, that there are like these 20 years, because we're living longer, right? We're living, many people are going to live to 100 who are born today, that, you know, before you were in the traditional sense, right? Maiden, mother, crone, and you went right, you know, people died at 50. That was very old age. But that now there is this new kind of 20-year span, let's say, between 50 and 70, that living longer, it's not tacked on to the end. There's this bonus couple of decades, if you're lucky, in the middle, that they've actually added another archetype. So that's like maiden, mother, queen, crone. And that's actually what the altar logo, if you, you know, is a circle with four lines, and it's meant to. So this idea of a queen stage, it's like, not only is it not late, it's brand new. It's like we're the first generation that has these years between, you know, mothering, whether you're actually a mother or not, but those sort of creative years, whether you're, you know, creating a career or a home or, you know, and crone, being a wise woman who's, you know, sort of ready to take her place as an elder, as, you know, my sense of myself and of a lot of the women, you know, at altar and kind of in my world, it's like this stage is more akin to adolescence. You know, mm-hmm. It's like this moment of like, well, wow, what do I want to do? Who am I? I have this kind of moment, this stretch of time where it's like about me again, right? Maybe I'm not responsible in the same way that I was. And I think that is like very, to use the blooming metaphor, is like very fertile soil for us as humans, but as women to think about like how do we want to bloom? What is our purpose? Like what do we really do here? And so to me, it's like, not only are we not late, we're actually the first ones. We're like the pioneers of how to live and make use of this kind of stage of development that is not, prior generations didn't have the luxury.
Mm, that is so true. Yeah. So it's interesting. I'm kind of a word nerd myself, but as you're saying the word crone, that always implies this, you know, haggard,
I know,
witchy person, you know, just sitting around being miserable and I don't know. So maybe there's another word for crone.
You know, I'm with you. Like I am totally a word nerd, and I am all about like the tension between, like, I try to use the words because I think that words like crone and hag and witch, they were co-opted and they came to mean something that is not what they originally meant, right? Like a crone is actually, it's comes from the root of crown. I think it's like the crown of age. It's wise woman, elder. It's an amazing word in its true vibration, let's say.
Yeah.
So I try to use it, if only to start this conversation so that we can like rehabilitate and reclaim some of these words that as women, I mean, everybody does, everybody cringes, you know, but yes, maybe we need a different word, but I also feel like it's a bit giving into the culture that to just abandon a word that, I don't know who, patriarchy, culture, like took and made mean something unsavory or, you know, unappealing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have a word you like better? I like wise woman.
Yeah, wise woman, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm thinking as you're talking also about some cultures that are not like this culture. Right. You know, a lot of the Asian cultures and African cultures, you know, they honor, they revere a woman of a wise woman.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Our society really doesn't. And it's odd to me. It really is.
Yes. And I feel like, you know, I guess it's like with everything, I want to be one who is honoring and revering those women in my life, in my world, making them visible in ways that the culture tends to make us, them, invisible. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I feel like we can't wait for culture to come around. You know, we have to sort of do it and model it and be way showers of a different approach in our own little spheres, whatever those are, our nuclear families, our communities, our world. I don't know. I feel very passionately about this, that making those connections across generations, it does so much of the re-educating. Because people are, you know, usually really awesome. We just write them off as an idea of what an 80-year-old woman is, or
right,
what a 20-year-old person is.
Yeah, yeah. And I find that, you know, on a soul, on a spiritual level, our soul is, you know, at various levels of maturity. You know, I talk about that a lot in my courses, that there are some people here that have not really developed their soul maturity yet. And they're in a body and they're doing, you know, silly, goofy, violent things, you know. And then there are some young people that have a very fully matured soul that are wise and intuitive and have so much to offer, like that little girl that I was referring to, the 6-year-old. So, you know, where does that come into what you're talking about?
Well, that makes me think of something I haven't thought about in a while, but, you know, I used to say, like, one of the reasons I think that I don't have maybe as much resistance to aging or something as I might is because I feel like I was such a little serious, wise, intense kid, right? I've always been this just like really like what's it all about, and like, you know, the meaning and the introspection, and like almost not like willing to have fun because that was frivolous. It was like, we're here on a mission, people. So I imagine like that what's happening. And so a lot of times when I was young, I felt really out of sync. You know, I felt like, God, I should want to go to fraternity parties or like whatever. And I was kind of like, this is not fun for me. What's fun for me is what's fun for like people much older than me. But I think as I age, actually, like, it feels in a way like my internal age, or like maybe my soul, I don't know what, is like coming into alignment, my chronological age and my like felt internal age as are getting closer and closer. And so that makes me actually really comfortable in my skin at like as I get older, in a way that it feels like a gift. It was hard when I was young, but it's only getting easier in that regard. So I don't know. Does that ring a bell with you?
Oh, yeah. Yes. My greatest idea of fun when I was, you know, 20 was sitting around philosophizing with people, you know, and arguing about various spiritual concepts and trying to understand life. I mean, I arrived here, you know, with all of those questions and drove everybody crazy because I was so serious. But then I shifted, and because I needed to be acceptable in our world, I became kind of overly crazy and, you know, party girl and, you know, drugs and alcohol and all that. But it never stuck. It just felt horrible to me, but I was doing it to be accepted. So, yeah. But I think it's also interesting that now I've kind of balanced the two, so to speak. I think that now I feel like everything is fun, you know, and even talking spiritually, that's the most fun I can have. But I don't take it seriously. I smile and I laugh at all of that. I think I said this in my last show that somebody asked Ram Dass, you know, how can you find a spiritual teacher? And he said, look for the laugh lines, you know. So I think that as you progress in years, I don't want to say age, as you progress in years, things that used to be so heavy do start to lighten up, hopefully.
Yes. Hopefully. Yeah. I feel like I am also just beginning. I think it's about permission in a way. Like there's a certain stage you get to where I just care less about proving anything, proving my worth, proving that I know things, proving, you know, I think that's a bigger driver when we're younger, maybe, but still it's like I'm loosening up in a lot of ways. And like life feels like it's really meant to be enjoyed and not maybe picked apart and analyzed, even though that's still really interesting to me. Like you said, there's more of a balance. My husband, actually, I really love this. So I'm someone who really loves to go deep into all the ideas. And he's always like, you are living like under the hood of the engine, like figuring out how does it all work and what are all the parts and da, 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 da. And he's like, I just want to drive my car. It's like, I don't really care how it, you know, I don't really care how, I just want to like be in my car and drive. And I think that like, as I'm, you know, I am who I am, but I do have more of an appreciation, I think, with every passing day, like, you know, that like life is to be lived and I'm trying to like have fun and drive my car.
Yeah.
You know, the car of my being. Yes.
Your husband sounds like my husband because my husband is so wacky and, you know, he's deep in his own way. He gets it, but he wants to just drive the car too. I love that analogy. Yeah.
It's a really good balance, I feel like, to have, you know, if there were two of us under the hood, be really intense.
And you'd never go anywhere. Wow. So who else would be a good example that you could share in terms of somebody that became wise as they had more years under their belt?
Yeah. You know, like one of the things that came to mind, you know, I was like, oh, I didn't really think about like specific women, but one of my favorite, I don't know what resources, I guess, you know, when I did a consciousness concierge letter with resources about late blooming and questing it. And one of the resources I think that was in there was, Advanced Style. Are you familiar with Advanced Style? It started, okay, I'm not going to remember his name, Adam, sorry, I didn't like do my homework, but, you can Google it and there's an Instagram, but basically, as I remember the story, he was a young, like in his 20s, he started photographing his grandmother in New York City, who was very fashionable and just very like, you know, in her own skin, in the sort of Iris Apfel vein, I would say, you know, just these really like very much herself. And it has blossomed into this movement, and books and a documentary and just capturing older women in their glory, you know, in their style, just expressing themselves, being, you know, just taking up a ton of space, I feel like, you know, as a not doing what is culturally expected to sort of be maybe prim and quiet and have your hair in a bun or I don't know, whatever those. And I just love it. And I find so much joy and inspiration from seeing these women who are so, you know, they're all diverse, but they're just so themselves, you know, and not compromising or modifying or apologizing for their stage of development, you know? And so there's like lots of women in there, but I'm very grateful to Adam and his grandmother for just that starting that whole movement, which was one of the first things that I came across that made me think like, oh, like there's another way. And I love it. I think it's a great resource for inspiration.
What is it called again?
It's called Advanced Style. And there's a, I'm going to look on it. There's Instagram. There's a, it started as a blog, I think. And there was a documentary. There's books. Like there's a coffee table book that has more than one book, I think, that has all the images of the women and their stories. And I don't know why, like specific women's lives are not coming to me, but resources that like woke me up to thinking differently about aging. There's another one. It's a stunning book by a photographer called Joyce Tennyson, and it's called Wise Women. And it was a project, I think she went all over the United States photographing older women. And it's black and white. It's just, it is stunning. And there's a little bit about them. And again, it's just, I feel like I feel it in my cells when I look at those images. And there's something that it's alchemical, I think, to see these powerful images of women that defy the expected timeline, you know, the expected outcome at that age. And then we get to bloom, you know, in our own way, in our own moment. So I'm kind of obsessed with those. I have the book. She has that book. And then there's another book called Light Bearers, which is also stunning. And I have them on the shelf at Altar. Like they're like sacred objects for me in terms of, you know, just like holding that energy of what's possible, beauty and wisdom and value and all the things. So.
You know, as you're talking, I'm just flashing on my mother telling me in no uncertain terms, because she had very short hair always, and telling me, oh, older women should never let their hair grow, you know? And I just took that with me as gospel. I really did. And I'm sure there were a lot of other things that she would say, but I remember yesterday I was getting out of the car and there was a woman, she looked like she was, I don't know, at least 80. And she had this gorgeous mane of white, long hair. It was just stunning. And immediately thought to myself, oh no, older women should never have long hair. And it's like, so there's so many notions like that. Have you noticed things like that too?
Totally. And I guess that's why, as you're saying that, I feel like my grandmother was stunning and she was very particular about her appearance. But I feel like I don't think I ever saw my grandma not in a long sleeve shirt. You know, like there were certain things, women don't show their legs. You don't show your aging crepey skin or your liver spots or whatever, you know, there's just things, but I don't know. I'm not a lover of social media, but one of my favorite things is there's so many women who are in this space of kind of reclaiming the third quarter or the fourth quarter or the second half or what, I don't know, you know, how to denominate it. And for me, seeing them visually, seeing, you know, how they present themselves, what they talk about, you know, there's such an explosion of people now talking about menopause and Maria Shriver and her Sunday paper. Like I just, there feels like there are so many women. Maybe it's like the baby boomers who are just like, we're going to talk about what's happening to us and what we're interested in. And there's plenty of us. So there's something to talk about, but I don't know. I find it incredibly heartening and I love to see, especially like the fashion. I don't know. I mean, there's just these women who defy all those stereotypes and norms and rules and, strictures, is that the right word? Like, you know, constriction around judgments. Like who says? I'm actually dying and my hair is getting pretty gray and I'm dying to color my gray bits like blue, which is so, I would never have done that. I mean, I don't know why that is like a thing I want to do all of a sudden, but I really do. And I don't know. Like, I feel like, why shouldn't I? There's no reason I couldn't do that at any age, but it feels a little sassy or something. <You know? laughs> for, you know, like it's okay for younger people to do it, but anyway.
Yeah, I talk about dyeing mine purple all the time. So yeah, okay, let's do it.
Let's do it.
And that's funny you said that your grandmother never wore short sleeves. That was the other message that my mom would give. Oh, well, when you're older, you never, ever should wear short sleeves. And now I'm looking at my arms and going, oh, God, she's right. And I said to myself yesterday as I put on a short sleeve shirt, that's ridiculous. Who cares? You know, it's hot. I need to wear a short sleeve shirt.
Gosh. Yeah. You know, I mean, but I think that those body images, those body messages are so strong, you know, generational.
Excuse me, my dog is in her
face. She's getting on the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so what plans do you have for Alter? What is in the future? What are your goals that you're trying for with that?
Well, you know, it's been such a, like, the whole thing in a way started the conversation around late blooming because, you know, it was 10 years in the making. We were all set to launch March of 2020. Of course, COVID happened. You know, this whole thing has been a journey in, like, trusting the timing.
Yeah.
Then we sort of really launched in December of 2021, just as Omicron came. Anyway, we're sort of coming up on I never know how to say how old Alter is. We're like coming up on our second anniversary, I suppose, in this December, but it's also like our fourth or I don't know. But just in the last 6 or 9 months, I would say things have really started to pick up. I can feel having a physical space that people are wanting to gather and wanting to come together in a way that just hasn't been in Alter's experience since its inception. And I'm just lapping that up and, you know, just wanting to create more opportunities for, you know, like meaningful social connection, opportunity to learn and grow from each other, with each other. You know, one of the things we're really, depending on who I'm talking to, I describe Alter as a portal for the divine feminine masquerading as a co-working and event space. Like, I think it's really what it is. Like, the business, you know, in some sense is the event space rental. I love when companies, you know, rent out our space for the day. Like, we had IBM, we've had the Four Seasons, and they're like, what is this place? You know, they feel the energy. They didn't come in expecting that. But so, you know, we're doing more and more of kind of bringing in all kinds of people into the space and letting it be a place where that kind of soulfulness gets activated, even if it's just energetically. And yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like we're just getting started, even though it's like a little late.
There's no late.
So yeah, I don't know. I'm having a blast and I hope that, you know, if you build it, they will come. That is how it has felt to a certain extent, and trusting the timing that women are finding us through word of mouth, through, you know, and, you know, I end all my lift circles with the phrase, that which is right is unfolding.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. That's great. And so do you offer remote also, or is it all?
We do. In fact, I just invested in some like next generation hybrid equipment so that we can really do it right. I do a monthly circle that's all Zoom. It's called Tend Your Soul, every the first Tuesday of the month. And it's free for Alter members, but anyone can come. And you can find it on our website. But yeah, because of COVID, we built like a community of women all over the country. Wow. So it's really fun.
So what is your website?
It's altercommunity.com, A-L-T-A-R community.com.
Wow.
And on Instagram, we're at altercommunity. So yes, love to, you know, I'm actually going to start doing some soul collage workshops virtually too. We did them during COVID, but yeah. You know, it kind of feels like the Zoom fatigue maybe is, you know, we're going to get a second wave of people willing to do things remotely.
Well, thank you so much, Kathy. This was really fun. And, you know, just to remind everybody that we are an ageless spirit that just happens to be in a body. And check out Altar. It's a wonderful space. And keep doing what you're doing. And the timing is perfect.
Thank you. It was such a pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.